Title: Route of Fill with DJ Friendly Structure in Ableton Live 12 for Jungle Old School DNB Vibes Advanced. Alright, let's build a fill system in Ableton Live 12 that feels proper old school jungle, but behaves like a modern DJ tool. Not just a cool drum moment, this is a routed, controllable mix event that tells the dancefloor and the DJ exactly what's about to happen. Here's the mindset. In jungle and classic DNB, fills are structure markers. They announce a phrase boundary, they lift energy without messing up the grid, and then they get out of the way so the downbeat lands clean. If your fill is exciting but it steals the impact of beat one, it's doing the opposite of its job. Step 0. Set the musical context so the fill actually lands. Put your tempo in the 160 to 170 zone. I love 165 for that classic bounce. Make sure your grid workflow is ready. You'll want one bar for placement and 1/16th for chopping, and sometimes you'll zoom tighter into 1/32nd for the final snare rush stuff. Now commit to DJ-friendly phrasing. Fills go at the end of 16 or 32 bars. Keep it predictable. Most of the time, your main fill zone is the final one bar of a phrase. And if you want that little tease before it happens, you can do a mini hint fill around bar 15, beat 3 to 4, but keep it tasteful. Remember, DJs need stability. You can create tension without creating confusion. Now we build the routing backbone, the dedicated fill boss. This is the part that makes everything consistent, controllable, and easy to swap later. Create a new audio track and name it Fill Boss. On this track, we're going to load a simple but strong stock chain in this order: utility, EQ8, glue compressor, saturator, and a limiter at the end for light safety. Set starting points. Utility is at 0 gain, width at 100 for now. EQ8, high pass at about 120 Hz, steep slope, because fills usually should not fight your sub or your main kick weight. Glue compressor, attack around 3 milliseconds, release around 0.3 seconds or auto, ratio 2 to 1, soft clip on. You're aiming for maybe 1 to 3 dB of gain reduction at the loudest fill moments, not crushing it, just keeping it glued. Saturator, soft clip on. Drive maybe 2 to 5 dB so the fill has bite. Limiter, ceiling around minus 0.8, and don't slam into it. It's just there to prevent oops peaks. Now the routing philosophy. The cleanest pro workflow is, do not mess with your main drum routing. Keep your main drums going where they normally go, like drum bus or straight to the master. Then create dedicated fill source tracks that route to the fill bus. That way, your groove stays stable, and the fill can be performed like a separate instrument. So make 2 or 3 fill source tracks, one called fill break edit, one called fill snare rush, one called fill noise riser, and set each of those tracks to audio 2, fill bus. Now we design the actual fill language, the old school vocabulary. First, fill break edit. This is your aim in edits. Think edits, hot pants, whatever you're using. Duplicate your break track or create a new audio track, load your break sample, and set warping carefully. If you use Complex Pro, it can smear transients, which is usually not what you want for crunchy jungle. Try beats mode instead. Preserve transients and play with the envelope around 30 to 70 until it keeps the attack without turning into sandpaper. Now write a one bar fill clip, placed at the end of a 16 or 32 bar phrase. Classic moves here: stutter the last snare at 1/16th or 1/32nd, reverse a kick or crash into the downbeat, or automate a pitch drop on the last hit using clip transpose automation. Here's a very jungle trick. Take the last 1/8th note of the break, duplicate it rapidly on a 1/16th grid so it becomes that machine gun ending. Then sneak in one reversed slice right before bar 1 of the drop. That reverse pull is like a little vacuum that sucks the listener into the next section. Second, fill snare rush. This is the DJ hype signal. Very readable. Very something's about to happen. Create a MIDI track with drum rack. Load a tight bright snare, and optionally a rimshot or clap layer if you want more snap. Program a one bar ramp. Start the bar with 1/8th hits. Move to 1/16th in the middle. And in the final quarter bar, go 1/32nd if you want it to feel like it's accelerating. You can also do triplets, but here's the rule. If you inject triplets, do it on one element only, like just a ghost snare or a hat. If everything turns triplet, you're basically sabotaging beat matching for no reason. Now make it rise like it belongs in the risers category, not just drums getting busy. Put auto filter after the drum rack. Use a high pass, 12 dB slope is fine. Automate the cutoff so it starts around 250 Hz and ends somewhere between 2.5K and 6K depending on how bright your mix is. Add a bit of resonance, like 10 to 25%, just enough to give it that lift feeling. If you want old school grit, add Redux lightly. Tasteful downsampling, not full video game mode, unless that's your thing. Third, fill noise riser. This is the glue. It makes the transition feel like a transition, not just drums went crazy for a bar. Create a MIDI track with operator, set oscillator to white noise. Set the amp envelope with fast attack and a short release, like 150 to 300 milliseconds. You're not trying to create a huge pad. You're creating controllable noise energy. Add auto filter after it. High pass, 24 dB slope. Automate cutoff from around 200 Hz up to 10K over the bar. Then add reverb. Decay 2 to 5 seconds, but keep it disciplined. High cut in the reverb around 6 to 9K so it doesn't fizz out like EDM. Dry slash wet maybe 10 to 25%. Then add utility and widen it, maybe 130 to 160%, but don't get too attached to that width, because we're going to build mono safety controls. Clubs and DJ mixers can do weird summing, and wide noise is the first thing that disappears or gets facey. At this point you've got three fill sources feeding one fill bus. Now we make it DJ friendly with macros and safety behavior. On the fill bus, add an audio effect rack and drop your whole device chain inside it. Now make four macros. Macro 1. DJ filter. This is your get out of jail sweep. Map it to the EQ8 high pass frequency, so it can move from about 80 Hz up to 300 Hz. Optionally, you can also add auto filter on the bus and map its cutoff from about 500 Hz to 8K. The idea is, if the fill is too heavy or too bright in the moment, you have one knob that makes it instantly more mixable. Macro 2. Fill level. This is your performance fader. Map it to utility gain. You can map from minus infinity to zero, or if you want more control, map something like minus 18 to zero so small moves matter. This is the macro you automate to bring the fill in and out without touching individual tracks. Macro 3. Mono safe. This is your club protection. Map it to utility width, something like 60% to 120%, right before a drop. Narrowing the fill slightly can make the downbeat feel bigger and also stops that where did my fill go. Mono cancellation problem. Macro 4. Grit or push. Map it to saturator drive, like 0 to 7 dB. And if you want extra clamp, you can also map glue threshold slightly, so when you push grit, it also tightens dynamically. Now arrangement, this is where you lock in DJ-friendly structure. Think in 32 bar blocks. A common move is bars 1 to 15 are your main groove, bar 16 is your one bar fill, then you drop into phrase B at bar 17. Or you go bigger, bars 1 to 31 groove, bar 32 fill, then bar 33 is the new section. In arrangement view, create locators like drop A, fill, drop B, or even more DJ readable, 16, fill in, 17, drop B, 32, switch fill, 33, new section. Those names are just cute. They become a roadmap if you ever export stems, perform live, or come back months later. Consolidate your fill clips, so they're exactly one bar, unless you're deliberately doing a two-bar switch. And protect the downbeat after the fill. No random tails smearing into beat one unless you absolutely mean it. A nice DJ-friendly impact trick is to keep the fill mostly mid and high focused. Then bring the low end back instantly on the drop. You can even add a clean crash plus a sub hit or a tight kick plus crash right on the first beat after the fill. Now optional, but very useful, sidechain the fill to the kick. On the fill bus, add a standard compressor after EQ. Turn on sidechain and feed it from your kick or drum bus. Ratio around 2 to 1, attack 1 to 3 milliseconds, release 50 to 120 milliseconds, aim for just 1 to 3 dB of ducking. This keeps the fill energetic but prevents it from stepping on the first hits of the drop. Old school records were raw, yes, but clarity is still king. Now let's talk coach notes, because this is where advanced producers separate busy from effective. Treat fills like mix events, not drum edits. In a DJ context, the fill is often the only moment you're allowed to change perceived energy without confusing the dance floor. So give the fill one clear job. Is it announcing a switch, emphasizing the drop, signaling a breakdown? If you can't describe it in one sentence, it's probably doing too many jobs at once. Calibrate the fill bus to the loudness of your drop. If your drop is sitting around, say, minus 6 to minus 8 LUFS short term, you generally don't want the fill to be the loudest moment in the track. Here's a practical method. Loop the last two bars before the drop. First, disable your fill sources and get your main groove feeling right. Then enable the fill sources and set fill level, so the final quarter bar lifts the energy, but beat one after the fill still feels like the biggest punch. Reverb discipline, DJ style. Instead of letting reverb tails freestyle into your downbeat, put reverb on a return track and automate the send amount down to zero in the last 1/8 note. That way you can have a big space, then kill it clean right before the drop. This alone will make your transitions sound more record and less bedroom plugin. Downbeat protection rule. The last hit of the fill should either hard stop or smear upwards with reverse or noise energy. What you generally want to avoid is a mid-range clack landing exactly on beat 1, because it masks your kick transient and it makes the drop feel smaller. Unless that clack is part of your drop design, keep beat 1 sacred, and check phase safe stereo quickly. Put a utility on the master, hit mono for 5 seconds, and listen to the fill. If it disappears or turns harsh, narrow the noise layer. Keep the snare rush more centered, and consider widening only the top end. A slick trick is to high pass first, then widen after, so only the upper band goes wide and the low mid stay stable.